lot of them want to come to Bristol and maybe do Bath, and so the numbers are growing this end.
I think this year as well. Everybody seemed to be very excited about that. So
I was checking
on some of the hotel information, but it's kind of early, so they're not really giving any rates at the moment.
No, and they are just building a new one very close to the city centre. And I think once it's up, is you know where the 24-hour garage used to be at the end of the M32?
Yeah.
They're building next door to that.
All right.
So I think that that'll be quite a good price as well. So I don't know how early you need the hotels. I mean, this is going to go up pretty quick, I reckon, within the next sort of 5 or 6 months. But
I think we may need to get something before then, because to give people an opportunity to kind of like start paying on it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And if that's something that we can change later and it's kind of equal to the price that we find, then maybe we can do that.
Right.
But because not only hotel and, you know, transporting, what it's like seeing or whatever we include in it, they still have to purchase their tickets.
Yeah.
So to give them an idea of price.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's waiting on.
Yes, yes. I bet it is, because it's not going to be it's not going to be cheap to come to the UK with the flights as well. And the hotels in London are usually a lot dearer than what they are here in Bristol.
Yeah, I saw that. Like a double.
Yes.
We actually could stay in Bristol probably about 3 or 4 more nights than we could in London at the price.
Yes, that is going to be the problem.
Yeah.
Although Sangit mentioned Airbnb, and basically they're a company that want people to come to the UK, and they find all the bed and breakfasts, all the hotels at a cheaper price. So it might pay you to have a look at that as well. See, we don't know London really well.
Now I've been living in Bristol.
Well, yeah, but in the centre of London. I mean, I know when me and Lawrence have gone up for a couple of days, and we've had to stay way out of the centre of London.
The holiday in London is like £400 a night.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Whereas down here, it's only like £50 a night. So it really does have a big impact. Although, on the other hand, it might even be cheaper just to be a little bit out of the centre of Bristol, because 4 in a taxi into the centre of Bristol might only cost £15 between 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
You might end up saving, like, I don't know, £50 a night or something, for the sake of paying £15 for a taxi between 4. So that's another option that you could think about.
All depending on how many people it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get maybe a tour company that will give you a discount, and they will pick you up and then take you on, you know, you can set up your tours that way as well.
Yeah.
Which may run very reasonable, and then you can get a hotel, you know, that's not city center, and get something out a little bit, but then you have the transportation that can bring you in. And then the hotel will give a group rate as well.
Right. I'm also going to join you in London, by the way.
Okay.
So
okay.
You can add me in on that list.
Okay. So once we, I guess, figure out the hotel or something, was you able to look at the one that I sent you?
No.
My
phone's upstairs, actually. Sorry. No, did you send it via the messenger?
Email. Lawrence, did you say we're people are on now? talking.
No,
you're fine. We're all right for a minute or two.
Two people are late tonight.
But can you set your time? And I thought it was at 4 o'clock at time zone.
Yeah, we usually start at 8, and it's 8:18 here now, But obviously we know that because of the time difference, some people run late, and or a couple of people message me ahead of time, so they're going to be a little bit late. So we just hang around and chat for a little bit.
Just for a minute or two, and then we'll get started. But can you resend that email to me, Vida?
I will. I will.
You got it. It's power2kim@yahoo.co.uk.
I think that's what I have.
Yeah, I've only ever had that one, really. So, yeah, because I've obviously missed it. I get okay. So much junk, it's unbelievable.
Do you want to give a bit of background about some of the other trips you've done, Vida?
Okay, so I think this is year 7 that we'll be coming up on.
Wow.
And Lawrence, it started with Beatrice when she came to the States.
Okay.
And what we did is she came in and we traveled around and did women's fellowship. And we went all over the States, basically. And then we did a cruise that year as well. So that's kind of how it started. And in doing that, I just kept seeing this picture of little girls playing on the playground and just being jolly, you know, and that laughter that they have, that God just wanted his girls to laugh because we had just gotten too serious, you know, and start missing the simplicity of him, you know. And that's kind of how it started. And, still trying to sell that concept of just enjoying God and relaxing, but no. Yeah, having a good time with God. Oh, no, we're not supposed to have a good time with him right now. No, he's our Father. We're supposed to have a good time. So, and it's just turned into this vision of kind of like the son when he came home, how the father just lavished him and just threw a party because he was happy he was home. And I think a lot of times, I don't know, I just felt that in where I was moving among, that we had forgot about how the father just wanted to spend time with us. He just wants to be happy. He wants us happy. He wants us blessed. And he just wanted to spend time with us. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about doing. And I guess as a woman, we could be busy bees, right?
Yes, most definitely.
Have a seat. You're stressed about much. You know, and get into trying to fix everything and everybody. I guess in this place is good because we have kids, we have things we have to take care of. But then for me, it started to carry over in the things of God, and I was trying to fix everything there, and you know, becoming a nervous wreck, you know, because I was just not enjoying life. I was too busy trying to make everything perfect, trying to be perfect, and just kept missing it. And so I was getting more frustrated, more miserable, because I couldn't measure up to this person that I thought I was supposed to be, right? So, you hear me?
Yeah,
once we started traveling now, started to realize that...
That's better.
Oh, okay. Once I started traveling around, started to realize that, you know, many of my sisters was dealing with some of the same things, not enjoying God. So that's kind of how the traveling started. And I guess it's, you know, sometimes it's been challenging, but it's always been a blessing. God has always come through, and each time it's just been completely different. And it helps me move to in what I enjoy doing and I consider part of my ministry, and that is encouraging and loving God's people. That's kind of what's been going on.
I'm recording this, by the way, so if you want to share a bit more, like maybe you could share some of the testimonies that have happened, or maybe you can recall from some of the trips that you've been on, like how it's touched people or changed people.
Okay.
As you remember.
Yeah.
You want me to do that now or later, you're saying?
Well, you could do it a bit later on if you want. As well. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
But we will have to, once we have, because I think you've almost narrowed down the dates now. I did suggest, I didn't know if you got the message, but I did suggest that we done Bristol on the Friday and Bath on the Saturday, for the simple fact that George Mueller is only open Monday to Friday, and I have to book that in advance. And if we could give closer to the time, if we could give a rough number, they will have one of the older people that, and one of them have actually lived, she lived in the George Mueller homes. So she'll give you an account of what he wanted from them. I mean, she's in her 90s, but truly amazing woman. And she'll tell you all about George Mueller and all about how he got the homes together, how they sat some mornings with no food, and then how the baker would turn up with all this bread that was left over, and then the butcher would turn up, how they'd make their own clothes, how he required, when the children left the home, the people that he used to go, like the ones that used to take on the kids, how they had to have money, how they had to have be able to offer an apprenticeship. So he wouldn't let these children go to just anybody. And he believed the whole time that God put that in his heart, that these children had to be well looked after. And the last specific thing he asked was that they went to church on Sundays. So she really gives an eye-opener, and she puts us through pictures. They've got a lovely museum there. You can buy the books. They have a bookstore of all his books and certain things. And it really is well worth a visit.
Yeah, I'm so very excited. The schedule is completely open. I just threw some things down, you know, just trying to start getting some mind pictures. But definitely, you said Monday through Thursday?
Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
So either the Thursday or the Friday would be brilliant.
I mean, I took your suggestion maybe in flying into London, because you had said that would be a maybe cheaper flight.
I think
but cheap. Even that can be changed around if it needs to be, and we come in and Bristol and go to London. You know, it's really open, because I don't know. I just know that I'm ready to come to visit your country.
Well, see, that's the other option, is I know that you can fly into Bristol, and we can do a day trip to London. There's a coach that runs, and it's not very much, like £15 for the coach. Takes about 2 hours to get up there. But it might be cheaper that way. The little bit extra that you pay to fly into Bristol might compensate the hotels in London. And we could easily do, like, I don't know what sort of things, but like if you wanted to do Buckingham Palace and the Abbey and Westminster Abbey and the Big Ben, Houses of Parliament, Downing Street.
Do you think you can do all that in one day?
Yes, you can, very easily.
Okay. Yeah, okay. One day. It's
a very exhausting day, but you can do it in a day. Okay. And I know where all those places are, but if it was anything outside of that, then...
I mean, there's Abbey Road Studios.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. You know where the Beatles were when they done that walk across the zebra crossing? Well, that's the only thing that's there.
And the studios, of course.
Yeah, and we've often had our picture taken with the kids and with people we've taken up, you know, us all walking. And if you want to drive down that road, it takes you ages, because there's so many people wanting to get on that zebra crossing and walk like the Beatles did.
The cars have to stop.
The cars do have to stop. They can't just drive over you. So it's quite hilarious, actually. I could just imagine like 20 women walking like the Beatles across the zebra crossing.
But it is fun.
So, but that is something that you could do in a day trip. So,
and there's Madame Tussauds.
Well, that's the other thing. See, if they wanted to do things like that, Madame Tussauds and a show or something, it's all money, and that would mean staying up there.
Okay.
But I would take a look, see how much it is to fly into Bristol.
But there's so much to do in Bristol as well, because you've got John Wesley.
We've got John Wesley's Chapel.
George Miller. What else have we got? We've got Clifton Suspension Bridge. There's Bath that's nearby, and that's the beautiful city of Bath. You could do a couple of
things
there.
Yeah,
Bath is a must, I think, because the Abbey's there, the Roman baths, all the history.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's something like, because I was looking where you could get on a ferry and tour some river or something.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it, Bath, yes, you can do
that
there.
Oh, that's what that is, okay.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, we could do a day in Bristol and 2 days in Bath or something, but it just depends on what everybody wants to see. But I think a day trip to London, we could cover most of those sightseeing things up there without incurring too much expense, because I know the hotels are really, really expensive.
Yeah, that when I looked, that was the bulk of the cost was London.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, to start.
Bristol used to be called the City of Churches.
Yes, we have hundreds of churches.
Is that why?
Yeah. It used to be because there's so many different churches. A lot of them being converted into like raves
and things. But you still got St Mary Redcliffe Church, which is humongous.
Yeah, there's loads to do. Bristol and Bath together, plus there's London. You could do maybe a couple of days. Start off with London, come do Bristol, go back to London. Anything that you
see that may be even better. Yeah, maybe do 2 days going up and not actually staying there.
Yeah.
Lawrence, where I live in the South, it's called the Bible Belt because there's a church on every corner.
Wait, are you in Texas?
No, I'm in Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
In Georgia.
The devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah. And he didn't come out because they all let him alive.
All right, what we'll do, we'll open up with a word of prayer. God bless everyone. Welcome, Nancy. She's driving, so she's got a microphone on mute. Jason couldn't make it, he missed the bus, and the buses are so irregular here. They're like every hour and sometimes they're longer than that. Kim Hiley, welcome. David, Anna and Pedro, Frank and Annie will be joining later, so will Chrissy and somebody else said there's going to be late, so we'll just get on now. So would someone on the Skype be blessed to open up the word of prayer, and then from there you share and then pass it on to whoever you want to share, okay? And share loads. We've got time to cover. Anyone?
Okay, I can.
Yay, Anna.
Okay. Thank you, Father, for this day and for our hearts ready to hear about you and to hear your words for us. Thank you so much for the sweetness of this fellowship, how we can be all together in the same direction and like-minded and loving to each other, Father. I thank you so much for that, for having a family, and so we can take care of each other and speaking about you and learning and praying and minister healing wherever is needed, Father. So I'm so thankful for that, and I live in your hands, each one of us, our hearts, our jobs, anything that is related to our lives, I put in your hands and I rest in your hands, and my heart is confident and trusting in you, Father. Thank you so much for that, and deliver this night and the moment that we are going to have in the fellowship in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, I don't have a lot to share this week, but I'm thankful and I have learned a lot this week, and I'm really peaceful and thankful for that. As you all know, last week it was a hard week with a lot of work, and I have the chance to learn things. It's about the world because it's about our work, but I also had the privilege to trust God and rest my heart in him and be things that he was moving for me and with me and teach me and give me direction. It was really nice. And when we desire to walk with him and our heart is humble and meek to hear him, it's really, it's something really, really important and really beautiful to see how he moves, how gracious he is with us. He's our daddy, so he's really gracious and patient with us. And how we, our standing can change things around us. And when I say changing, I mean about people, their hearts change too. They start doing things and have different attitudes that are good for their lives. And it's really a joy to see that. I have also an opportunity to believe for someone's health. We have been praying for that. My manager had an accident, so everybody was talking about death, but we pray and he's in surgery. I think everything is going to be okay. And so we trust wherever he is, God will take care of it. And the rest is in his hands and the believing around him. So we are things in our lives, and it's about that, walking in spirit, walking with God. It's not only work, but always see what he's doing for us and have joy with him. So I'm very thankful for that, and I will ask David to share with us next.
Yay, David.
Hey, God bless everybody. Thank you, Anna. Okay, I would like to ask, what are the dates of this event, this women's event? The dates in at the year, when are you? I know it's only for women. I would just like to know what are the dates.
Vida, come on in.
The June of 2020, and it is a women's event, but we always tell the women that they can bring their spouses, or we let men come if they really want to come. But you have to be really, how should I say? Not intimidated by a lot of women, no.
Lawrence certainly isn't.
No. One year we had Wallace and David Ginn. They were the only two men. Who's laughing? They were the only two men there. So we was like, they're not intimidated by women at all. So, no, but seriously, yes, it's always, you're always invited if you want to come. I mean, we just have the women thing, but yeah, husbands can come if they want.
Yay! So I'm not excluded then.
No, you're not excluded.
Praise the Lord.
But we usually do put you to work, so.
That's cool. Sweating now.
I was asking to see if Lawrence and the rest of the guys would like to do something while the ladies are getting together in England. Maybe if it's what God has for us men, we could try to do something in Spain.
Oh, that's nice.
If you want to lift that to God, Lawrence, and
yeah,
we can pray.
Yeah,
I can speak about those dates to some of the believers there, and we might even be able to do something if it works in the south of Spain, I would love to be involved in get things ready for us in
that sounds great, David. Actually, it sounds
example.
A very good idea. Very
or
good.
Or you could have a men's thing here when we're doing it. Come see George Muller and all that, and then I can come to Spain with you.
I like yours, Kim.
Yes, 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 yes. Especially especially the South of Spain.
Well, anyway, that's just an idea that we can pray about it, and if I'm sure some of the believers in Spain, if something like that would be available, I think they would be blessed to have believers from different places visit in June. It's a good time to take a week off and do things. Yeah. The men could do great things together too, and share a lot of good stuff just for men, and we can invite some women too if they're not intimidated with a lot of men around.
Well, I certainly aren't, David. I'm not intimidated by a man. I'll be there.
Well, what blesses me is that Feeder's faith has inspired faith in us to do something.
Yes.
So it's just a great blessing. So that faith is contagious, David. It's inspired you.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask you to lift also. There's a class finishing in. It's a similar to the PFAL that we had in the past. Finishing this weekend in Medellin, Colombia. There's especially a girl finishing that class that she's sick, and the opportunity to a lot of people to see a lot of miracles and healings is great, but they have their challenges, and would be great to pray this weekend for that class and what's going to be out of that class after they finish on Saturday. So it would be great if you guys would like to pray for that. Your prayers are appreciated. And Lawrence, I have another question. If you know people in Holland, the Netherlands, there's a girl from Colombia that used to be in our fellowship, and she moved to Holland, and she'd like to hook up with believers there. If I can ask Joe Thomas in Madrid if he knows some people there too, but if you know believers that are doing something with the word there, would be great.
Okay, well, I don't, but this audio will be going out on the website, and I know many people listen, so someone on the audio, if you know any believers in the Netherlands, then please give me a shout and I'll let David know, and so this believer can have some fellowship, and we're praying. What's her name? We're praying for her as well, that God opens a door somewhere for her.
She's Natalia.
Natalia, okay, that's wonderful.
And a lot of believers want to move. With this thing in Venezuela, 30% of the population in Venezuela have left the country. It's at least 3 million have entered in Colombia. There's jobs that have a lot of pressure right now, and believers are having a hard time finding jobs. We know that God can do all kinds of stuff to the people there. The thing is that some, like Marcella, we are going to be living in Madrid, and this is something that I wanted to share. Things are going great. We have our place. There's an apartment that she has in Colombia that's being rented. A bunch of things that we are dealing with, like selling stuff, the car there and everything. But some of the believers also are having a hard time with jobs, because with all the Venezuelan people working for much less and are ready to be paid for a very low salary, it's putting a lot of pressure on the economy, and a lot of people are trying to leave the country. So that's something that it's good to pray for that too. And Natalia is in that situation. She got an open door to move to Holland, and she's there. But she's a wonderful believer, and she doesn't want to be cold and all by herself with her boyfriend or something that she's trying to speak the word to. But they're kind of out there on their own. So, and that's something that I like to share, is that to have the family is such a big deal. And according to the word, we know exactly what the family is. And if we think about in terms of earthly family, we move very quickly, and we do whatever it takes to help a brother, a earthly brother, a earthly sister, our parents, an uncle. But I'm sure you heard the expression that spirit is thicker than blood.
Yeah.
And we really need to think about these things, because we sometimes put a lot of effort into what's going on with our loved ones. And it's great that we love the ones of our own blood and children and but if you think about the words of Jesus Christ, my family are those that hear and do the word, and to have a family, it's such a big deal for God. And I really wanted to have words of appreciation for what you are doing, Lawrence, and people like Peter and Anna and Frank and Kim, that are always on Skype fellowship and making things available for the family. I think that's a wonderful thing when we have the family to pray and to do things together to help us and encourage us. It's such a big deal for God's heart.
Amen.
And that also takes me to another thing that I've been thinking with God, which is about our mission. We have the word of reconciliation. God in this administration has us to reconcile men to him. Of course, it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But it put in us that word, and we do that job of reconciling people to him. But each one of us have different ways of working, like Vita, right? She was saying something about our ministry, and sometimes people have not come to a point that they ask God what exactly is their mission in life. I know that in general we have that mission to reconcile man to God, but he's going to have also details that are related to our makeup. And when we know with him exactly what are we supposed to be doing in this life, and he shows us exactly where we are going to be the most effectively doing that ministry of reconciliation, and working to bring people home to God, And sometimes it's like there are believers that are wonderful at singing, and they do a lot of things that when they sing, they just bring great encouragement. People get healed by their songs. People come to God with their songs. Some others are great at healing. Some help people get born again and speak in tongues. Some are very good at teaching, etc. But when we know with God exactly what He wants us to do for the rest of our lives, and we know that that's what He put in our heart to do, it's a gorgeous thing, because nobody's going to take us out of that. Nobody will, even if they try, a family member, wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever wants to talk us out of fulfilling our mission, it's not going to be possible, because we know that God has put that in our hearts, and what we are going to accomplish, He also shows us that. So I just wanted to share with you that it's a great thing to know exactly what you are supposed to be doing in this life. And lately I was thinking about this thing. The last time I was listening to one of these Skype fellowships, we talked about the momentum of the time that we had in France, and I just started to think about things that God has put in my heart throughout the years, in terms of what's out there for me to do. And I was like, wow, we as a family, like you shared, Lawrence, in that fellowship about the momentum of France, as a family we are going to have momentums, but individually we also have those momentums that we got to be really aware of, our momentums with God, and not allowing anybody to talk us out of those individual momentums. So I love you. You as a family here at the Skype Fellowship, Bristol Fellowship, are doing a great job to encourage different kind of people around the world. And from what comes out of this fellowship, people indirectly are touched. People that don't even know that there's a Skype fellowship that comes from Bristol. So a word of appreciation for all that you are doing.
Thank you.
And I love you. God bless you.
God bless your heart.
I'll pass to Kim Hiley, if he's on.
Yeah, Kim.
Hello
Kim, God bless you.
Thank you. Just adjust the sound a little bit. That's it. Well, I have really an awful lot to testify about, but we had a very interesting book Bible study group last night, and we discussed the last half book of the last half of Acts from 16 to 28. And Paul, he spent nearly 30 years traveling. It's really interesting.
Hello?
Do you ever see?
Yeah.
And we don't really know what happened when in Spain. I think he, when he got to Spain, he was imprisoned, and the story seems to go cold there, because we couldn't figure out what happened once he got to Spain. He didn't say where in Spain he was, but he was such a busy guy, and a couple of things that was, well, there's lots of things we needed, but there was one where he travelled to Derby and Lystra, and then there was a, he linked up with Timothy, who was the son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And they'd travelled through a lot of cities, and this was Paul's meekness, because he suddenly said, look, let's go back to all these places, these towns we've been to, and hear how the word goes with the brothers who we witnessed to. So they went back to all those towns again, just to hear how it, well, the word was with the brothers they left behind. I think it was very meek. I mean, there was a tremendous passion that he had for God's word, and that he went, he did that. And there was also one thing we couldn't quite understand, was that when they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, that wasn't Asia Minor. It was a district called the Roman province of Asia. And they were not, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit in God to preach the word there. And we couldn't figure out that, we couldn't figure out that one either, and still haven't today, because it doesn't seem to give an explanation about that. But yeah, so we went through just what people, what they learned, what they'd taken about reading the book of Acts, a wonderful revelation, all the way through to the 28th chapter. So yeah, that was really lifting for a lot of us who witnessed to that, who shared with that. And then the next one is going to be Jonah. What next we're going to be sharing the book of Jonah's. And I said, I could read all that book. And it's only 3 pages, about, you know, it's just, I think it's 2 chapters. It's a short book, but there's a purpose why we've been asked to study it. So, and in our weekly magazine, or the news sheet that comes out of our church, it's got house group. They won't call it fellowship, they call it house group. It says here, we are looking to start a monthly local house group commencing on Monday the 14th of July at 10 o'clock at Kim Howard Hiley's house. This would be for 1 hour, starting with tea, coffee, and would involve sharing and what's going on in our lives, what prayer needs you may have, and time for some Bible study. So that's going to be happening on the 14th of July.
Wonderful.
And I shall be give the first teaching. Alas, we won't be able to have manifestations, because I don't believe that very, I don't believe many at all have the ability to speak in tongues. So we won't be having that, unfortunately. Anyway, it starts, the house group or fellowship, with me, and I can seat about 10 people, I think, probably. So everything is a beginning.
That's great.
And if the Lord tarries, I look forward to that, and we'll share with you how it went. And the main thing is, it's not quantity, it's quality. So it has to be open for everybody, not just a select few. But it depends how many we can shoehorn inside my sitting room. So we might be sitting on the floor, but what the heck, it's only for an hour. Yeah, and it's the word that counts.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's really all I had to share this week. And I think I have to pass it back to you, Mr. or Mrs. Tor.
Okay, who hasn't shared?
Fida. Or maybe Frank? Sorry?
Fida Rawlins. Pass it to Fida. Oh.
Hello, Fida.
Hi, Kim.
Ah,
it's pronounced Kim?
Yes.
Okay, God bless you.
Thank you.
I was just thinking, though, Kim, the last women's event we just did, it was only like 12 or 13 ladies, and two of the ladies there did not manifest before coming, but they did before they left. This may be an opportunity to do that, and then that way you can have manifestation. So
I used to wait, but now I make it available right away if people want to do that. But because it's available right away, so. Also, David, one thing that I did these last few years is that I did write a mission statement. And I would encourage anybody that wants to do that because it does, you know, it's kind of like writing the vision, make it plain,
Amen.
You know. And you can see clearer and clearer. And I'll share the last one that I wrote. It says, as my guiding initiative, my purpose is to be an imitator of Christ, the one who lives in me, until he permeates every cell of my humanness. In that I am an illustration of him to others. The person I am today is one with keen interest in furthering my call as a pastoral counselor, because that's what I do now. From childhood, the concept of God has always been a driving force in my life. Scripture says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born. I set you apart and appointed you, in Jeremiah 1:5. God's appointment to his work in ministry has afforded me so much. You know, a lot of times people think, well, you know, I get on this God train, I'm going to have to give up this, this, and this. But I mean, the dreams that God has brought to pass in my life by following him and, you know, imitating Christ is just beyond my imagination, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and what I do is I add to this mission statement all the time. We're always transforming from one degree of glory to the next. So we're constantly growing towards Christ. We're constantly going that way, you know? So it's always changing, you know? But, and like you said, there are things that God puts in our heart to do. And I was doing it almost as a child, but I didn't, quote, have a title for it. And it's as I went to school and did some other things and, you know, have grown in the Word, I put a title to it. Or the world put a title to it, so I adapted the title. But as far as pastoral counselor, is something that I've been doing as a child. And I know for a minute, I shone away from that word counselor. And there go my AOL stuff. And it was Brendan Nally, we was talking once, and it was like he was like, didn't the scripture say Jesus Christ shall be the wonderful counselor? I'm like, you know what, right. You know, the word has so much in it. And sometimes, you know, because of what the world puts on it, the connotations that the world puts on it, we shy away from what the things that God has given us already. And, you know, Jesus Christ was a counselor. He was a confidant. He was a person that you could lean on, that you could, I mean, he is now. He's, you know, that constant in us, right? Mm-hmm. And you can always talk to him, and you can talk to God. Is, you know, so we have a constant counselor. And as, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we help each other, you know. And so that's how I ended up in that field. And believe me, I wasn't headed that way. I started school in business, and I'm here. I am now. I have a master's and studying on my PhD in pastoral counseling, wow. Marriage and family counseling. And I'm like, God, you have a sense of humor, because I blew two marriages, right? So you're gonna put me in a position that I got to talk about marriage, okay? So I know this is of God, because I'm definitely not qualified. I love it. I love it, because it becomes totally not about me, you know. But yeah, so I mean, I just encourage you to write a mission statement, and it gets clearer and clearer, you know, as you head that way. God shows you more and more. It's like I was telling somebody, it's like this 1,000-piece puzzle that I've had, and it's like I'm more than 2/3 of the way done. It's coming together. And this picture, you know, it's like God is painting a picture, right? And it's coming together. And the more and more I transform toward Christ, or I imitate Christ, I see it bigger and bigger. And this puzzle is, you know, at first you couldn't figure out what it was, but now you can see, well, it has a little here and a little that, and it's a flower there and a heart there. It's like, okay, I can see this picture now, you know. So, and I think as we write those things down, it become clearer and clearer for us.
Amen.
And I mean, you know, we got a father that can do anything, so why not write it down and just give it to him, you know?
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. I think this was my best Sister Standing Strong that ever. It was so small, and it's something about small groups. They are so intimate, so you get to really kind of share more or give more of yourself. And one of the ladies that went, I've never fellowshiped with her. She's not from, you know, groups that I know, people that I know. And she's actually the wife of a minister of a church here in Georgia where my sister goes. So, and my sister had told me she wanted to share. And I didn't know what that was going to look like, but I know God did, right? So we got there, and she started to share. And it was so wonderful because what she shared has stuck with me from that time to now. And it was very, very simple. She shared a testimony of going to Chick-fil-A. Anybody know? You guys know what Chick-fil-A is, right?
No.
No.
Okay. It's a place where they serve chicken sandwiches, huh?
I know it's a restaurant in the States.
Well, it's more like a fast food type of restaurant, and they serve, you know how McDonald's have hamburgers?
Yeah.
This place have chicken sandwiches, and I mean, if you want a chicken sandwich, that's the best place to go, Chick-fil-A. Wow. Okay, so, and they have chicken nuggets, which are very good too. And so she loves chicken nuggets. And she was, she had a little money, not much, and she asked God if she could just, she wanted some chicken nuggets that bad, so she just asked God, can I get some chicken nuggets? And he just said, go ahead, get in the line, go get you some chicken nuggets. And I mean, you know, she was going to spend her last few dollars, but he told her, okay. So she gets in line and goes through the line, and she gets up to the window, and the lady told her that the car in front of you just paid for your nuggets.
Wow.
And she was like, oh, wow, cool. But then the lady said, well, now don't you want to pay for the car behind you? And she said, she asked God, and immediately it came to her heart, no. Now, no, is that the Christian thing, right? No, you don't want to pay for the car behind you. Are you sure you're a Christian? And she said no, but God told her to say no. And he, after that, he told her that he wanted to teach her how to receive. And boy, did that word spank me, receive. You know, and that whole, I mean, it just, you ever have one of those things that just kind of like go all over you and you just know that's the word you needed to hear?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it was. And that whole weekend, the whole weekend turned into that, even toward, you know, receiving the manifestation, right? And God taught me that, you know, because we've heard so much about giving, even to the point sometimes that we get into condemnation about it.
Yeah.
When we don't do what we think we're supposed to be doing. And he taught me that, though, that weekend, that everything that comes from him has to be received. And I'm like, wow, you know, I thought about it, your healing, the Holy Spirit, your salvation, everything that comes from me has to be received.
Amen.
And it just took me back to even in the beginning, how God so took care of Adam and Eve, you know. He just gave them. He didn't ask them to, okay, now you're going to have to pay a bunch of sharing for that. Or, you know, or now you're going to have to give to me. Only thing they had to do was just really, you know, take what I have and accept it and obey, you know. And here it is, you know, you're just taken care of, right? And for whatever reason, you know, whether
God would, let me say, I put it this way, God would do things for me, and I guess maybe feeling undeserving that maybe I'm not supposed to do this or have this or, you know, what have you, I would just give it away. And he'd be like, that's what I just gave you. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And I'm sitting there looking, well, okay, can you give it to me again? I'm sorry, I blew that, you know? But it's like, you know, for so long I had gotten into that habit pattern. And sometimes I think it can even get to the point that it's not obedience and it's not humility, even though it looks like it might be humility or, quote, the Christian thing to do. But if it's not being done with, I guess, with joyfulness and also knowing that God wants you to do this, then it's, I don't know. But he was teaching me really how to receive. I will receive from him because everything has to be received. And I have been dealing with some things as far as healing. And basically, it even took me to that, you know, just receive it. Just receive it. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go through hoops for it. You don't have to hit flips. You don't have to do anything but receive what I have for you. You are my child and I love you. And I started to think about my kids when they was younger and how, you know, how I took care of them. You know, they just received it, you know. And it wasn't that, you know, they, at 2 years old, when I got a job to pay me back or anything, they just, you know, enjoyed life and they expected mom and dad to take care of them. So for me, that was just a big thing. I don't know if it's because of whatever reason, if I had slipped into just, you know, trying to outgive God or whatever. I don't know. You know, sometimes you don't know what's going on in your heart, right?
Yeah.
But I know God is going to show me what I need to see through all that. But that was the last one we just did. And it's the whole entire weekend went from there. It went from not feeling ashamed, not blaming yourself, and just receiving from God. So it was a tremendous weekend of deliverance, of letting all that stuff go and not blaming yourself and just receive from God because you are worthy. You're good enough because he made you good enough. And we don't have to do anything, you know. We are righteous now. We're you know, like I told you, you can't put that tag of a sinner on me anymore because that's not who I am. I'm saved now. That's not my nameplate, you know. So all that stuff, you know, it was just receive who you are. Just, you know, you're righteous. Christ has died for you. And, you know, and just start to run that stuff through your head and your mind to it sit down in your heart and you really get it. So there are so many testimonies. I don't want to talk too much, but I just wanted to share that one because that was sticking out about receiving. Because I think for me, I was missing that. And I know I was because that's why God had her to share it. And it ended up blessing me so much. You know, it's kind of like that chastisement of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, you know, it gets to the point in your life that when God spanks you, it doesn't even feel like a spanking. You'd be like, oh, okay. I used to cry about it, but now I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just change that and move on, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So with that, I want to hand it over to Pedro.
Hello. Thank you.
Bless you, Pedro.
Bless you, guys. My sharing for you tonight is a little bit about some scriptures and stuff God put in my heart. One of these nights I was having a hard time sleeping because I've been working late for something to Hannah. Doesn't matter what is now, and she was snoring, the cat was snoring. I could sleep, so I start reading my Bible, and it struck me on Acts chapter 1 of Acts, a verse that I didn't read on a while. It's verse 11, the second part of verse 11. I'm gonna read it from the Companion Bible. And on the Acts 1:11, the second part of the verse says, Jesus, which is taken up from you into heavens, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And this shall so come is a word that is absolutely will come. And it struck my heart again about this certainty, this sureness of the hope, you know, of the return of Christ. I don't know about you guys, what you have been taught about the hope. We have been taught about the living hope in the past, and I build up a little bit of that hope in my heart. And always I remember some verses, which I would like to share with you some. And about this hope being alive in our hearts is a great hanker for our souls, that it says in Hebrews 2, and gave us a lot of strength to keep going on, because it's the right perspective for what we're doing, seeking God's will in this world. We don't do it for the glory of man, not for pleasing this fellowship, that minister, our wife or husband, whoever it is that we try or like to please sometime, or all the time, doesn't matter. But when we do the will of God in our lives, we should do with this certainty of this hope is his return, because nobody stopped him to come the first time, and nobody will stop him coming the second time. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, of course. And I lately have been, you know, find some believers who had stayed in the situation. I don't know if they are being taught about it or whatever happened to their believing, but they say that everything is done, we just have to wait and until Christ return. And this waiting for some of them is like you know, waiting for the bus, you know, you sit down and light a cigarette and you wait for the bus to pass. I remember Jason probably is what he's doing, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, this hope is not like that. It's not just sit down and hope and expecting that Christ will come back again. This hope has something to do with God's will for us. In the meantime, we have something to do with God, and God has something for us to do if we wish to do that. And that's the hope, you know, the living hope that is a hanker for our souls, our lives. And many times also I heard in the past, we've been talked about the crowds of our rewards, and we've been taught that there were many different kind of crowns. Sorry, thank you.
Crowns
is different. Crowns. And lately, some believers share with me about being probably the same crown and not many, but with different rewards. I don't know. I'm not trying here to define that. But what I know is that there are rewards that we received. And they are incorruptible, as it says in 1 Peter 5:4 and in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and they have got to do with glory and justice also, as in 2 Timothy 4:8 calls about the crown of justice. And also the word of God, the scriptures remind us about not losing our crowns. You know that if you read 2 John 1:8, it says that we receive the full reward. And in Revelation 3:11, it says, "No man take thy crown." So there's a standing, there's a living by looking for doing God's will. I don't say being perfect, nothing like that, but being steadfast in the believing, as Lawrence was sharing about our believing. It's got by God's grace that we achieve things with God. But we have to believe him, and we have to believe what he said, what he promised, and we have to believe this hope too, so we will receive it when Christ will return. And for us, maybe now today, in our days, this glory is not a big thing, you know. We don't realize what glory is about, and because we don't see many things being glorified in this world. Maybe some pop stars, some soccer players, some football players, I mean, some people that are well known in the world, and they are glorified by the media and, you know, actors, movie actors, and all those kind of celebrities, people that are real well known, they are glorified in this world. But we are going to be glorified for eternity. And that's got to do with our responding to God's call for us. And I'm not saying these like a mission that you have to do, and even if it's hard. And I'm not saying that it's easy. We know we have a spiritual fight. What I'm saying, if it's something God has for you to do, it's because you can do it, and He knows it's good for you to do it. It's pleasure for you to do it. You wouldn't call you to do it something you wouldn't like to, or something would be too hard for yourself to do, or you wouldn't be able to do it. Of course, you are able in Christ. You can do anything in Christ. But anyway, you wouldn't call you to teach if you were not the kind of people who would be easy at teaching, or you wouldn't call you to be an apostle if you are not the kind of people that are easy to leading and give direction to people. He knows your heart. He knows what kind of person you are. Then He will call you to do something that you can serve, and it's got to do with yourself, because He knows you. He knows what matter you are made of in your heart, and He will never go against your heart. So we always can trust in God and in His love for us. He won't ask us to do hard things for us. He just has things for us to do, and we have to believe those things are available, and we can do them because He tells us to, just because of that, if we do believe Him. And about the hope, I still have two verses I would like to share with you. There's I would call them the capital verses about hope for me. One is in Romans 8:18. It's a great verse. I love this verse. And I know other believers had been helped through their lives. When they were serving God's will, they share with me that in certain moments of their lives, this specific verse helped them keep going on. And I'm going to read it from the Bible. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Whatever kind of tribulation, hardness, difficulties, disappointments this world can give us, we will be much more rewarded and blessed by God when Christ will come back, because we answer Him back with our love, and we did what He asked us to do, what He inspires to do, what He shows us to do, what He revealed us to do, whatever you want to call it. It's what God has for us, and we answer back, and we go on that direction. Sometimes we have a fight, you know, we have someone try to stop that. And when I'm saying someone, it's not nobody in particular, no human being, it's just, you know, the spiritual world in this world that trying to influence people. It's not the neighbor or the boss, something on him maybe that is trying to bother us. Doesn't matter, we don't look to the flesh, and we don't judge by the flesh. We walk by what God says, and He says we are more than conquerors, so nobody and nothing can stop us from doing God's will. And God's will for us is available, is at our reach, you know. It's not a big deal. It's not just for others that had study more or know more or had more faith. We have all the same measure of faith in Christ in us. We just have to believe that and keep going. But sometimes there are hard times. Everybody passes through that if they are walking with God, because it's how it is, and God doesn't want us to be ignorant of the truth spiritually. But He made us conquerors. He made us overcome all these difficulties, all this hardness in life, you know. And these rewards we're going to have when Christ returns will be much bigger than all the hardness we have been through. And another verse about it is 2 Corinthians 4, actually is two verses, 17 and 18, which I'm going to read also for finishing this sharing. And in 2 Corinthians 4, reading verse 17, says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worked for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Well, today, on the light of the events, our tribulation, our affliction sometimes doesn't look light. I know, sometimes it's hard, not light, it's really heavy, you know. I don't discuss that, but that's what we see, you know, that's what the five senses show us. What God is showing is that the affliction, the hardness of this life is light, comparing to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which means, okay, if you have the only thing I can give an image, I don't know how fair that image is like when a woman is giving birth to a child, and then there's some hardness, some pain on that act of giving this child. But after the joy, all the pleasure she has to have that baby in their arms supersedes all the hardness and all the pain she has been just passing a few moments before, you know. No woman would stop being a wife or a mother, I mean, because the labor is hard, you know, the birth of a child is a hard thing, because they know the joy will be much bigger, and then the reward of having a son or a daughter in their lives is much bigger than all the hardness that birth moment can carry, you know. So God has much more exceeding and eternal doesn't never go out, doesn't die, doesn't finish, doesn't went out, glory for us. But we have to act according to what he says also in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we look to God's word, God's promises about, in this case, fate, about the hope, about, you know, rewards, about being sons of God, about having the power of God, we're looking to things we don't see, but are eternal. They will never be run out. You know, you never run out of God's power. You never run out of God's love, even if sometimes people around you, even the family of God, are not being loving with you. But the love of God is still there for you in the hearts of the ones who are living that love, and your heart should be there too, because you have it through the Spirit of God that has been poured into your heart. So those things are the things that doesn't vanish, doesn't went out, you know, they're never finished for you. The things of this world, you know, either money, either health, beauty, brightness, education, social position, whatever you want to call it, being a star in this world, they will finish someday, at least when you will die, but even before that, many times, that are not the things that we should look on or for. It's the things God promise for us. And this hope is something sometimes I put my heart on it, and I go to God and I talk about it, and he has shown me some stuff for myself. And I believe each one of us who ask God about it can have a great joy, because God will show you something for your heart, your own heart, about this hope that probably would make sense for you and not for others, because he knows your heart, and he knows what can bless your heart. He knows everyone's heart. He knows every son he has, and he knows what blesses. And it's for this that we keep going on looking for people to love and to bring back to the family, or to be born again on God's Spirit, because we have this living hope, this motivation of God's love, not of this world, not of building up something on this world, or either an organization or a big movement of people. That's not the goal. The goal is to seek God's will and give it to people and bring people to him, and knowing that he, God, has great things for us for doing it, and keep doing it until Christ returns or we fall asleep. And this can give us great joy, because even when times are hard, when times are not light, you know, they're heavy, this more exceeding and eternal weight of glory will be not to be compared with it. So hang on there, and God's love and God's promises, and on the faith He gave us through His Spirit, and keep on blessing and loving His sons and His family. And I'm going to pass to Frank if he's ready to share. Frank, God bless you, man.
Beautiful, Pedro. Wonderful.
All right.
Hi, Lawrence. Hi, Pedro. Thank you. Yes, I'm ready. Frank. Yes, and I'm blessed to be, late, but I'm there with you. And we were, Annie and I, with a friend, you know, and a colleague from work. And it was a good time, you know, and we walk around the lake for a comment kilometer. For 1 hour, we walk. And we went back home. We invited them at home, and the wife of my colleague, really listening to the word of God. And recently, ordered a free Bible, you know, from it's the New Testament, the recovery version. I translate from the French I have, you know. It's a free Bible, you know, that people that they give, you know. It's from England, you know. They give a Bible freely. Then I have my own, and then I received it, and I spoke to this a woman, you know, from the wife of my colleague, and say, "Oh, you could have a free Bible if you go to this website and ask for a." And she said, "Okay." And when she was there, she said, "I ordered it, and I will receive it." And we spoke with Annie about the Word of God too. You know, we had a different talk and laugh and. And I'm blessed because we talk also about the Bible, you know, about God, about healing, about that we need to know what God has promised and to believe it, and we can receive surely from God about it. But we need to believe, and we also spoke that we need to make the first step to God, you know, to for God to be able to work in our life. We have the step to of faith, you know, that God is existing and He's able, and we just spoke it, you know. And she received it, you know, and we were blessed. And that's why we are late now to this call. But it was a blessing because it was not without speaking about the Word of God. And
even for his mom, it's in a seed we sow. So
yes,
it's important also. It was listening quietly. But I'm sure he's listening.
Yes, this colleague I work during the four last nights, you know, because he's working with me, and we invited him with her wife, and I saw the word of God in him, you know, and he see my life and what I'm doing, you know. Then God will open door, I am sure, and. Yes, that's good. And
I'm sure the seed is there.
So. And he says the seed is there, then that's okay.
It's not good to be to want to be quickly. Let the seed grow.
Yes, yeah. You know, I'm okay. I'm very calm, you know. Yes, and that's good. That's very good. And now I'm there with you, and I'm sharing that. And I can now, stop and let Annie perhaps share more if she wants.
No, it's
that's okay.
Thank
you for you.
Okay.
Okay. Then, I'm blessed, and I'm going. I don't know who else, Lawrence.
Lawrence. Everyone. So far, Nancy was on, but she's disappeared off. So she might have had to take some phone calls. So I am going to.